The Son of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What we have here in the Gospel of John is a more detailed calling of the four principal apostles, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. You won't find these details in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and John has his own version, but you won't find Matthew and Mark giving any details on this because Matthew and Mark, as far as their work was concerned, their writing inspired by the Holy Spirit, they were catechetical in nature. So they gave little detail on certain things, only communicating that which the faithful needed to know with regards to catechesis. Whereas Luke, as we heard in the Gospel a couple of weeks ago, set out to put things in an orderly fashion and received, again, his Gospel from the Apostles, from St. Paul, and from the Blessed Virgin Mary. And therefore, he gives more detail. There's no difference in the sense that they all flow together, but Luke just gives more detail, whereas when you pick up with Matthew and Mark and even John, it just has those four principal apostles on the shore being called. Also, this calling does not occur out of the blue. They had already been working with our Lord for about at least 9 months to a year. And so our Lord, at first, if you recall, his mission began with he himself preaching in the synagogues. Then he called the apostles, and then he continued that mission where he himself, by himself, went to synagogue to preach, to prepare. And then, once he called the disciples to himself, in this kind of probationary period, they followed him and he worked many miracles. But he didn't require them yet to abandon everything and follow him. This is the moment when he does so. And he demonstrates what happens if you do. If you do follow him with full will and full intent, you receive a superabundance in return, and not necessarily a superabundance of material things, but a superabundance of grace. And so therefore, the message that you should take from this is the reality. Like St. John Chrysostom says in addressing the storm on the Sea of Galilee, when our Lord works with a general populace, he works miracles to edify them. But to those who wish to follow him, disciples, he puts them both in situations of terror and danger. He deliberately puts his followers in terror and danger. Whereas those who aren't quite following him, they simply get to witness miracles. There's something about that reality. You know, in his divinity, he causes the storm on the Sea of Galilee, but in his humanity, he's asleep. And so he strengthens the apostles by that example. He strengthens all of his disciples by the reality of the knowledge of the truth that he is both God and man. And so therefore he requires of disciples risk, danger. And we see this with regards to the reality of when he's just preaching to the general population here, he keeps Simon Peter's boat close to shore. But when he deals with Simon Peter and the other three apostles himself, row out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch. Row out into the deep. Row out to where it is not safe. Row out to where it is dangerous. Row out to where you could be in peril. Now this obviously works with regards to the dynamics of my vocation. In modern times, it's very dangerous to be a priest. People hate us because of the priest scandal. Catholics who don't want to be faithful hate us because we preach the truth. All sorts of people literally dislike us, and the fact that vocations are slow is because young men don't want to put themselves through that danger, that kind of terror. But if you love our Lord and you wish to serve the Master, the Victor, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you don't care about what other people think. Most people think all priests are perverts. Let them think that, because we are not. But therein lies the reality of the work of the enemy, to keep people close to the shore so they'll refuse to row into the deep and do something that requires danger, terror, imperiling. Well, the same thing holds for those of you in the sacrament of holy matrimony, who, by the way, are in the minority in this country. There are more people that live together in a household than there are you who are married. And so marriage has become, for the world, a very terrifying and dangerous thing. And too many will not do it. Moreover, too many Catholics find the idea of having more than 1.2 children a terrifying idea, dangerous, and therefore they won't do it. But that's the beauty of those who are living the sacrament of marriage in the proper context. They are willing to row out into the deep and lower their nets for a catch. They are willing to trust God over and above worldly wisdom. I was talking with a parishioner just the other day of the harsh reality that every year, on January 1st or so, they come out with the numbers, our materialistic culture, telling people this is how much it will cost to raise a child. And it's all done to dissuade repopulation. Satan has control of so many circles of our society, and most people worship the earth rather than God. And those who worship the earth see humanity as a plague, a virus. And therefore reproduction is an irresponsible bad thing. And they get this ungodly huge amount of number. 400,000 was the number I last heard. And we know, of course, that's based on the standards of the world, where your child has his own home theater, where your child has all these luxuries. Of course it's going to cost that much. But if you're actually living a Catholic life, a life of simplicity, it's not all that expensive. It's expensive to be sure, but not as much as they say. But that doesn't count for a faithful Catholic couple, because they know that the Lord has called them to row out into the deep and lower their nets for a catch. To leave the safety of the shore that the world clamors them, come back to us, stay with us, be like us, don't be any different. But they choose instead, as Christ has invited them, to participate in life with him as Christ entered Simon Peter's boat. The sacrament of holy matrimony is based on the reality of the two becoming one flesh in the power of Christ. So it is literally that. The three are in the boat, so to speak, together. And Christ asks the married couple to row out into the deep and lower their nets for a catch. To love in a way the world does not know possible. To forgive, especially your spouse, in a way that the world would dismiss as weakness. And to willfully seek what is best for the one you love, which is the kingdom of God, heaven, and life in the truth of the church. The world does not want you to do that, but the Christ does. And it does cause danger. Consider the reality that they received such a catch that their boats were about to sink. Indeed, it communicates just how much they receive, just how much a married couple can receive in God's grace if they're willing to row out into the deep and not be so consumed by worldly anxiety, worldly concerns, and materialism, or worse yet, reinventing morality to fit their own concupiscence. Instead, they live in accord with the Christ, and therefore there'll be a superabundance of grace, but the world won't like it, and indeed it will seem like you're in danger, about to sink. But therein lies the reality of the Christ and, again, the storm on the Sea of Galilee. He may seem to be asleep, but he is not. He was in total control of the storm, but he was also in total control of the boat the apostles were in, just as he was here. They could have sank, and they called on James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were business partners with Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. And they were able to take and to tow this great catch of fish ashore, which, by the way, would have made them far more wealthy than usual. But they are taken by safety back to the shore to Christ. And this is, of course, where the reality comes, both for my vocation and those of you who are married. And those who aren't married or are contemplating a vocation, they should consider that dynamic. What's going to be the most sure way of becoming holy? What's going to be the most dangerous life for you based on your concupiscence and your weakness? What do you need most to overcome yourself? Those are the questions you ask yourself to determine if you are called to the priesthood or religious life or marriage. But ultimately, Andrew and Simon and James and John leave everything. So they leave that miraculous draft of fish to whomever wants it. They leave their boats to whomever wants them. And they never go back to being fishermen until Peter is doubting after the Lord is dead, before he appears to them in the resurrection, and Peter goes back to his old life of fishing. So defeated was he. And therein too lies something to consider. There are times when you are afraid and don't know what's happening. And that's when our Lord will allow you to go back to the shore where it's safe, to recalibrate and reorient, and then call you again back out into the deep, to go where it is dangerous, perilous, unknown. And the beauty of the sacrament of holy matrimony is you have a lifelong partner to do that, a helpmate for the men, and one that is protected and guided in the surety of God for the women by virtue of the male's headship. You don't tackle it alone. And it's not a matter of the fact that you were so afraid of living life by yourself. It's a matter of fact that you knew you could have survived on your own, but you chose to surrender that in order to be married to someone, married to that person God called you to, which makes life much more difficult at some times, but also much more interesting through the reality of the mystery of the other's otherness, through the great complementarity of male and female that the world hates so much after it's abused it to no end and has endeavored to redefine marriage and redefine human sexuality. It is dangerous to be married, more dangerous to be a priest and religious. And in discerning a vocation, one should decide what they're willing to do to give themselves in total service to the Lord. Whatever the case, whatever vocation you're in, or whatever vocation you are endeavoring to discover for yourself, do as the Lord says and be willing to row out into the deep. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.